AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, here on FYI Politics with Brett Johnson. Well, there's a series of community meetings taking place in Minneapolis that has to do with, of course, the recent murder of George Floyd. These are sponsored by Communities United Against Police Brutality, as they're holding what's called the People's Floyd Commission, which is a series of public meetings throughout the city of Minneapolis that will talk about the killing of George Floyd and the aftermath and where we go from here. So joining us to talk about that is Michelle Gross of Communities United Against Police Brutality. Hey, Michelle, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So tell us a little bit about the People's Floyd Commission. It's a series of five events, although I should point out that two of them have already taken place. They all start at 6 p.m. around different areas of Minneapolis. So tell us about how these got started.
Sure. In the aftermath of major police uprisings in other places, you know, things like after the Rodney King beating, or the Watts riots, things like that. There have been these commissions that have happened, generally generated by the government, to try to examine what caused the uprising, you know, what could be done to change the conditions so it doesn't happen again, et cetera. And so things like the Christopher Commission, you know, and that kind of stuff. And we have not seen anything like that in Minneapolis. Strangely, the city council declared, you know, back in early June, that we're going to have, dismantle, defund, or whatever the police said. It turned into, let's have a one-year conversation, and that conversation has never started. So we thought, this is just dumb. You know, why aren't we having a conversation among the community? It's like they don't want to hear what the community has to say. And so we decided that in the absence of the city taking action, that we needed to call forward people to give their testimony, you know, their, impressions and their experiences around what happened, not only in the conditions that led up to the killing of George Floyd, but in the response afterward. And so we set up these five hearings, and they're in parks all over the city so that it's, you know, safe, socially distanced and so forth. And we feed everybody, and we start each night. Each night focuses on a different topic, though people who testify can testify to anything they want to. But each night we sort of have a different topic. We set up a little bit of background on the topic for about 10 or 15 minutes at the beginning, and then we just shut up, and we have an open microphone, and people just walk on up and give testimony. We are capturing that testimony. We're working with On-Site Public Media, which is an organization that videotapes events and does, you know, kind of its own documentaries and things like that. And we're working with them, and they're capturing all of the video of these events. We're going to transcribe them and turn them into a report with additional recommendations of things that the city ought to be doing to ensure that we don't have any further George Floyd incidents.
Well, I like that idea that you are recording these and are eventually going to transcribe these, and I'm assuming you'll put those up perhaps on cuapb.org. That's your website for Communities United Against Police Brutality. Excellent. And boy, that's just unreal as well that the city, despite all that's happened the past few months, still has not set up any sort of meetings whatsoever. So glad you guys have taken that into your own hands, because you would think with the aftermath of what we saw, they would at least try to be doing something to put together these types of sessions.
Well, back at, I think it was about the end of July or thereabouts, they had a meeting. Prior to that, they had given their staff what they call a staff directive. They told them, come up with a way to do community engagement so we can start having this conversation. Well, the staff came back and reported, we haven't had time to figure it out yet, bosses. So then the city council gave them two more months to figure out how to have conversations with the community. It's like, it's not hard, people. Set up meetings, open up a microphone, and let people do it. And they somehow haven't been able to figure out how to have meetings where people can talk. A lot of it for the city is they like to have meetings that they get to control, so they can tell everybody, you get 3 minutes, you know, and all this kind of stuff. We aren't doing that at these hearings. People can talk for as long as they want to. You know, we ask people to be courteous for the others that are there that want to testify, but we basically just open up the microphones and let people share their experiences. And the things that people have talked about have been utterly amazing. Their experiences, you know, with police and the things that have happened to them at the hands of police right after George Floyd. You know, we had people talking about standing on their front porch and getting shot with paintballs by the police, and, you know, by the National Guard and so forth. We've had a woman spoke passionately about what happens to deaf people in the community as a result of policing problems. You know, just all kinds of things where people talked about the conditions that led to George Floyd's killing as well as the aftermath. And it's just been astounding, frankly. So glad we're doing this event. And it gives people, you know, a wonderful opportunity to, you know, so the weather's still good yet. And we're having these events outside and people have the ability to then just be out there and give their words that are so important.
Again, these are a series of meetings that take place each Friday through October 9th, with the most recent meeting coming up. This will be this Friday at East Phillips Park, which is, I believe, as you say on the sheet here, I think it's, what, South 17th Avenue, just north of the park building. Either way, yeah, people can probably Google the East Phillips Park and figure out where that is. They begin each Friday at 6 p.m., and the topic on this Friday's meeting has to do with the city's response to George Floyd's killing. And there's certainly a lot to unpack there with this meeting coming up here, especially with reforms that were proposed by the city council. So I want to talk about that a little bit. What sort of response have you kind of gotten so far? What do you think about this idea that the city council put through earlier this summer in terms of changing the Minneapolis Police Department?
You know, the problem is they didn't have an actual concrete plan. What they really want is to take over the police from the mayor, and they don't have a concrete plan of how they're going to address policing in the city. And frankly, this whole time, they've never used the power they already did have. Our organization's position is that we need to downsize the police. We need to take the funds that result from that and reallocate those to more appropriate response for things that don't require law enforcement lens. We don't think we can actually, you know, eliminate the police, because you do need police for people to have access to the court system. So things like, you know, incidents of domestic abuse, rape, things like that, child abuse, we do want people to have access to the court system for their safety. But we do think they can be significantly downsized. The Minneapolis police have no business, you know, showing up at mental health crisis calls, drug overdoses, homeless encampments. You know, why are these police out there doing things that should be addressed through a social services or, you know, mental health professional lens? It doesn't make any sense. So we need to redirect the funds to a more appropriate response where we can. And then for the cops that are left, we need to rein them in. And the Minneapolis City Council has failed spectacularly in all of those areas. For example, they oversee the Office of Police Conduct Review, which is the complaint branch where you can go and complain about the police. In the 7.5 years that they've overseen this agency, the agency has taken in 3,133 complaints by members of the community. 13 have resulted in discipline. 13. That's a discipline rate of 0.42%, when the national average for civilian oversight bodies is 7 to 8%. So we are like the low-end outliers for the whole country. And yet the city council has, year in and year out, we've been telling them about these results. We get the data directly from the city, so we know they're accurate. Year in and year out, we tell them about it. And every year in and year out, they just keep passing the funding for it. They don't put any expectations on them for better results or anything. They just keep going along with the program. You know, there's 100 things the city could have been doing all along the way, and they've frankly failed in every opportunity. So at this point, you know, just giving them control over the police does not solve the problem. There are things that they could be doing right now. You know, they know now that their charter amendment is not going to make it on the ballot, obviously. And there are all these things they could be doing right now, and they're simply not doing them. And these are choices they make.
Well, what I like, too, is that you're really putting the focus on the city right now, because so often when we hear about the debate about the police, it often gets focused at the federal level or even at the state legislature. And I've said this many times on the show, where if you really want to have an impact on changing the way law enforcement works, it's all going to come at that city level. And as you pointed out, there are many things the city could be doing right now that they're not, in terms of trying to rein in the police. As you brought up, just that shocking stat, what was it, like 0.4% result in actual discipline, or was it even lower than that?
No, you have it right. You have it right. And it's pathetic. Yeah, 0.42%. And the thing is, you know, there are some things that the state needs to do, but most of what needs to happen locally. Our organization came out with a list of 44 areas that needed to be addressed at the state level. Well, it's a mix of state and local. And then we came out, so that because the city council seems so confused, we came out with a list of about 30 things that could be done right now by the city council without any action from the state. And we've put this in all the hands of all the council members. They've had it repeatedly sent to them. We've actually been trying to meet with them and talk with some of them. A few of them have met with us. Most of them are acting like COVID is a great excuse to avoid dealing with the community. And they've stuck their heads in the sand, and they don't want to hear about it because, you know, hey, we can't get a hold of controlling the police in total, so we're not willing to do anything. And, you know, this is a formula for disaster. And you're exactly right. Most of what needs to happen on the local level, because these police departments are hired and operated by the municipalities. So most police, you know, reforms or police changes need to happen at a local level. And yet our city council is sticking their head in the sand. You can't even get these people, you know, you send them emails, you call them, you write them letters, and they're just not responsive. They're just totally not responsive.
So I take it, as you've been holding these meetings with the People's Floyd Commission, as again we're speaking with Michelle Gross of Communities United Against Police Brutality about the series of five meetings of the People's Floyd Commission. There are three more left, with the most recent one coming up this Friday at East Phillips Park at 6 p.m. I take it there's really been no involvement from the city whatsoever, no response in terms to any of your proposals or what's being discussed at these meetings. Is that kind of what I'm getting as a read right there? No official response from the city, or even just maybe a city councilor showing up and, you know, just showing up at one meeting and listening? Really nothing is what I'm gathering?
Nothing. I would say flat zero. And equally, not just the city council, the mayor. The mayor has been completely radio silent on this stuff. You know, we had a major incident happen in our city. I've been doing work on police accountability for going on 34 years now. I have never seen in the time I've been doing this work a group of people so angry that they burned down a police precinct. That just is unprecedented in this world. And it was so shocking to me that the city has just, you know, and what's happened here, stepped up protests all over the country, all over the world. And yet we have not, our mayor has barely spoken about this. You know, he's talking about, we need these work groups for transformation. Well, they formed three work groups that have all the same people on it that have been doing all of this non-stuff for years. The main people he put for the community work group, he put the Minneapolis Foundation in charge. What do they know about police accountability? They have no history or background doing this. There's not one person in the community that has history doing this work, that has any knowledge, that's on that work group. And more than that, not any people whose family members have been killed by police, not any people who themselves have suffered from police abuse on these work groups. So what results will we get? The same ones we've always gotten. And so, you know, you're right. It's a very sad statement. I honestly think, you know, and I said this right after George Floyd was killed, I honestly think that these politicians think they can put the genie back in the bottle. And I think they're about to find out that they can't.
So as I brought up, the next meeting is on September 25th. That's this Friday at East Phillips Park. You have two more coming up in October. One is October 2nd at Armitage Park, and then you have one on October 9th at Theodore Worth Park. So what are the focuses of the meetings going to be for October 2nd and October 9th? As you said, people can talk about kind of whatever they want at these, but generally you do come in kind of with a preset topic on where you mainly want to have things focused. So we dove in a little bit on what's happening this Friday, but what can people expect if they decide to attend the October 2nd or October 9th meetings?
Well, we're going to be talking a little bit on October 2nd about legal issues, you know, talking about how difficult it is for people who are harmed by police to get any kind of legal justice, but also to talk about people facing charges and people who are mounting civil lawsuits. The city is facing right now five civil lawsuits that I'm aware of, and I think there's going to be a lot more pretty soon, by people who lost their eye, like journalists who lost their eyes from being shot in the face with, you know, rubber bullets or tear gas canisters and things like that. There are, that I know of, three class action lawsuits. So we've asked the ACLU, who's running those three lawsuits, to speak on these panels. We've also asked individuals who are mounting their own lawsuits to talk about what they're going through and what's going to happen. You know, all of these lawsuits, people don't realize that the city of Minneapolis is self-insured. We don't have like an insurance policy for lawsuits. So all of this comes directly out of our budget. And so it's literally like we budget for police brutality. And I think that what's coming down the pike here is going to be very significant for the people who live here. For, you know, I live in Minneapolis, I own a home, you know, for the taxpayers here, we're going to see some real issues. And not that we don't want people to get justice. We absolutely want people to get justice. But we think that talking about how people have to resort to the legal system because they can't get any kind of justice otherwise is an important aspect. And then the October 9th will be the wrap-up of all of these five hearings. And then that night, we're going to talk about the state of police accountability today and going forward. In other words, what does the city need to do next? And so all of these are great opportunities for people to come, share their experiences, and, you know, take something away from the event as well. And we feed everybody. These are great events because people can be outside. The weather's decent. And, you know, and they're professionally run. We have a fabulous moderator, Toussaint Morrison, who is, you know, kind of fielding the discussion and making sure that people feel welcome to come to the microphone. And so we've had great testimony so far, and we're looking forward to more of the same on these next nights.
One of the final questions for you here, Michelle, it has to do with this. I mean, how do we turn these discussions that we're having at these meetings into action? Because oftentimes when people see the word, we need to have conversations about police accountability, or we need to reimagine police accountability, and not saying you're doing this whatsoever, but oftentimes when people hear those phrases, they think, oh, well, that's just an excuse not to do anything. Like I said, you guys probably aren't doing that. You're probably actually trying to get action on what you're talking about. But how do we turn these discussions into actual action?
Well, you know what? You have to have concrete proposals. And that's exactly what we've done. But we always try to inform our concrete proposals, you know, our concrete ideas and specific actions with both what the community wants as well as what's evidence-based. So we do a lot of research in our organization for evidence-based best practices around policing. You know, in other words, we're not just running off going, oh, wouldn't it be nice if such and such happened? You know, we're actually thinking it through, we're researching it and things like that, but it also needs to be informed by what the community wants. And these are ways for us to find out what the community really wants to see happen. And when we do this and combine it with the research on evidence-based best practices, then you have actual concrete proposals. So the city council has no excuse because we're telling them, here's the things exactly that you need to do, this, this, and this, and this is how you do them. So right now, we, for example, have issued a white paper on ending police-only responses to mental health crisis calls. And what we're doing is we have a roadmap for them to follow. Here's how you can set up an alternative response or a co-response. Here's how you fund it. Here's how you, you know, get it out in the community. Here's the logistics of how it's going to work. You know, we actually come up with the concrete for these folks because we don't expect them to be very imaginative. Let's just say they haven't shown much imagination in terms of how to actually get something done all along the way. So we're telling them how to get it done. And, you know, hopefully they will take it up. If they don't, it's shameful and it's on them, and we will let it be known that we made it easy and they chose not to take it up. So, but we're not just going, oh, wouldn't it be nice, you know, and this and that. We are actually telling them concretely what they need to do and exactly how to do it.
We've been speaking with Michelle Gross. She is with Communities United Against Police Brutality. Their website is CUAPB.org, as we're talking about the People's Floyd Commission, which is a series of five meetings taking place this fall, talking about the aftermath of the killing of George Floyd. There are still three meetings left to attend, including this coming Friday at East Phillips Park in Minneapolis. Michelle, I'm assuming people can either follow you guys on social media or go to your website, CUAPB.org, to find more details about the People's Floyd Commission.
Yep, they certainly can. We have a great Facebook page with a big ad right on top. And we also have all of this same information on our website, as well as links to all of our reports of recommendations that I talked about earlier. People should really read this stuff because, you know, these are well-reasoned actions that could be taken by the city council, and our job right now is to urge them to do it.
Yeah, definitely. We'll have to check that out and hopefully have you back on the show to talk a little bit more about those ideas. Hey, Michelle, really appreciate the time today.
Great. Thank you so much for having me.